Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. If you joined us yesterday, you know a few things. You know we're spending the week in the book of Revelation, and you might be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be intense and intimidating and all this kind of stuff. But I want to repeat what I said yesterday, is we're not doing like an academic, massive theological deep dive on the passage Revelation 21 that we're going to be in. There are far, far more advanced and wise people. You can get some info from Scott Hahn or Brent Petrie or Dr. John Bergsma, all kind of stuff, all kinds of resources out there that you can do that theological deep dive. But we want to come together and read this passage because lately for me, there's been this deep desire, this deeper desire, the deepest desire that we all have stirred up by events that have been happening, by things that are challenging in our community, by seeing hope being grasped onto by people that I love in ways that are heroic in the midst of deep, deep suffering. In light of death and all of these things I've seen and I've experienced in myself, a deeper hunger to be in heaven. A deeper desire to run as fast as I can there. And I want you, friends, to be inspired with that desire because that's why we're here. We're not just here to have a good conversation. We're not just here to be like, yes, Lord, like make our lives better, but we're here to get to heaven. And another thing I mentioned, if you'll continue to pray, if you're listening to this in real time, and if you're listening to this later, you can pray in retrospect. Right now, Pine Hills Girls Camp is going on in Jackson, Michigan. A little over 200 middle school girls, plus an additional about 75 staff of young women are seeking the Lord together with the goal of hoping that these young women have a deep personal encounter with the person of Jesus Christ that would change their life for the rest of their life. And so please pray for that today if you think of it. So we're going to go ahead and dive into our psalm, Psalm 51, which is an amazing psalm, one you're going to want to pray with. And remember how in different times we've been saying, listen to the psalm and grasp onto one line. And then begin to say that throughout the day when you want to look at your phone, say that line instead. When you feel emptiness, say that line instead. When you want to gossip, say that line instead. And so we're going to go ahead and look at Psalm 51. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm going to skip forth a little bit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of salvation, and uphold with me a willing spirit. Lord God, you are merciful. You are perfectly just, but you are perfectly merciful. And today, whenever we're listening to this, we just come before you, and we just search our hearts. And we invite you to search our hearts, that we would repent for anything that we have done to offend you, Lord, that you don't require burnt sacrifices, but you require a contrite heart. So clean our hearts, purify our hearts, Lord. We're stripped bare before you today, and we just allow you to see places that are hidden. We allow you to see places that are sinful, and we just come before your mercy, and we beg you to purify us. We beg you to make us clean. We beg you to make us new. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read Revelation 21. And again, remember yesterday we left off, and if you didn't listen, I want to encourage you to listen to the episode. But we left off saying, you know what, the desire that we want to have is desire for something new, to say the reality is something new is coming. God is promising us something new. So Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. We continued yesterday. I'm going to stop there so we can start to break this down. As we talked about yesterday, the first thing that we see John saying in his vision, he's saying there's all these events that are happening in his vision and related to the end times. And he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. We talked about this yesterday, that something new is coming. We see this in the writings of St. Paul. Paul says creation is groaning for God to return, because the reality, friends, is that after the final judgment, when Jesus Christ returns again, that we're in between the first and the second comings of Christ. But when Christ comes again, he brings a new reality, and the fulfillment of the coming of his kingdom that came with him when he landed, when he came, when he was born of the Virgin Mary on earth, he brings his kingdom with him, and we're in a faith. Our faith isn't one to say that we're just plucked out of this earth and sent there, that the reality is God is coming to renew all things. That he created the garden, he created us in the garden, and everything was perfect. And it's not this reality that we're just going back to the garden, but that there not only will be a restoration, but a newness. That's saying it's not like we're just going back to the garden, but there will be a new garden. Because there will be a new heaven and a new earth, that God doesn't just leave his creation out. It's not like we're beamed up into an alien spaceship. And this is so much what Paul talks about in his theology over and over and over again. All creation is groaning for the revelation of the Son of Man. That he thought, as he thought about heaven, it wasn't just this place out there. It was that God was coming to renew all the earth, man included, but all of creation. And that we, as we come into deeper faith, as we're renewed in our baptism, we become co-workers with God in the renewing of this world, in the renewing of others. How amazing is that? We're not just trying to escape, but God is saying something new is coming. It wasn't just supposed to be this way. Something new is coming. You're groaning, and all creation is growing for a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, the sea was no more. As I was reading some commentaries by church fathers, it says the sea and the way that the sea moves is almost like a symbol of instability. And so God is showing John, he's saying the instability and the change of the world will be no more, because I will be its stability. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. I love this image. This is an unbelievable image. This beautiful image of the bride adorned for her husband. And men, maybe if you're listening, you're like, oh, this is not for me. This is where my wife listens and now I check out because this is girly stuff. But Jesus is saying, I'm coming back as a bridegroom. I'm not just coming back as a coach. I'm not just coming back as your buddy. I'm coming back as a bridegroom looking for my bride. And the new Jerusalem, it symbolizes the final dwelling place, the new city, the final dwelling place. And the bride is the church. The bride is us, together adorned for her husband, prepared as a bride. The reality is, friends, that the Father, God the Father, men, women, children, the entire church is the bride of Christ. And God the Father has prepared us as a gift for his Son. You know, in the Jewish wedding rite is a beautiful process that goes through a lot of different things and a couple things that are very similar to what we see Jesus doing for us on the cross. But the Father, in the Jewish wedding rite, the Father chooses the bride for the Son. The Father makes the match and says, here is your bride, Son. And then the groom pays the price for the bride. And the father of the bride and the mother of the bride prepare the bride to be given over to the son that has paid the bride price for her. And there's this whole preparation time, and the groom goes away. And during that time, the bride and her bridesmaids, they prepare special oils for the consummation and the wedding and all these different things. And the bride waits with her lamp. And the bridesmaids wait. That's that Matthew 25 passage. They wait with their lamps lit for the groom to return and get the bride. And this is the time that we're in, that the Father has chosen us, that we're not just a pilgrim people trying to get to another place. But my reality and your reality is that Jesus desires us. Jesus desires us, and the Father, he prepares us, and he has prepared us from the beginning of time as a bride for his son, that the God of the universe, not only is just saying, like, here are the things that you need to do to get into heaven, but he's saying, you are mine. I long for you so much that at the end of time, I will come back for you. I will come to get you, that my Father has prepared you for me, and I've come to earth. I've paid the price for my church. And the price was my blood. I died so that I could have you as my bride. This is how much I long for you. And our time here on earth waiting for his return is a time of preparation to keep our lamps lit, to become adorned for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that when he comes again in Revelation 19, he says he will come again, the heavens will open, and he will be seated on a white horse, the one who is called faithful and true. And he will come for his bride in the New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is what we're a part of. And each day, each and every day, we're not just, quote unquote, trying to make it. But the Father is saying, let me prepare you for my son. Let me prepare you to be given over to a relationship that's so deep, that's far deeper than you could possibly imagine, that has more love and more delight and more passion. And once again, men, this isn't just for the women. This is for you. God is calling all men to himself, not just as a duty, but to form you in deep intimacy. And being in heaven, being in the New Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, it will be adoring God and being with him forever. And he's saying, let me prepare you for my son. Let me prepare you for my son. This is what we long for. Not just to be taken out of the pain, not just to change and transform, but to be prepared as a gift for the only Son of God, who even now, as Mother Teresa says, is thirsting for you, is longing for you. He's paid the price for you. And so part of what happens when we read this is we look forward to what is to come, that we will be united with him. The church as his bride will be united with the bridegroom. But to now say, Father, prepare me, adorn me, prepare me to meet the bridegroom. Help me understand this, not in my intellect, but in the depth of my spirit, that I want to give myself over to Jesus every day more and more. Help prepare me. Join me again tomorrow as we continue in this passage. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.